Hey y'all, we are back at the basket, a weekly podcast where we discuss and dissect the best league in the world, the NBA. I'm your host, Wahaj, and with me today, like every other week, are Kevin. What's up, Kevin?
Hello, world.
And Richard.
Hello, universe.
So in this week's episode, we're going to recap all the close NBA playoff race games going on. And we're also going to look ahead of what games to follow in the upcoming week, who's in, who's out. And we're going to talk about LeBron James' big night. We're also going to play a new game, so stay tuned. So what did you guys think about the last week's games, fellas?
Man, this season's really coming down to the wire, don't you think?
Yeah. I'm enjoying watching the Sixers more than I should be. I should be following the Raptors, but it's just so exciting to watch a different team sometimes.
13-game win streak. They're doing it without Embiid. It's interesting to see. I mean, Brett Brown is maybe up there in that Coach of the Year discussion now. Who knows, right?
There's too many coaches in that discussion.
Yeah.
I feel like we're including everybody that goes on the streak. Right?
And I just want to give him some recognition.
Oh, yeah. No, he deserves for sure.
It. Yeah, he's been in the jungle for a long time, and I'm glad they're winning.
I'm also glad Denver's winning. I think for the longest time they kept losing and we like counted them out. And you know, the Jokic and Malone thing was blown up a little bit. Like, you know, they don't have a good relationship and they might still not.
Yeah.
But I feel like they've put it together in the last week or so, and it's really interesting how this is going to go down. I think this is one of the closest and weirdest race we've ever had in the last few years.
Yeah, we're going to break it down in a little bit, but it's, to me, it's very interesting how Denver is now at the center of this weird elimination hurricane in the West, where they have to, if they do anything, if they even like lose one game, it changes dramatically.
No pressure.
Yeah. Nuggets. No pressure, Jamal Murray.
Speaking of the Nuggets, did you watch the Nuggets and the Wolves game?
I caught a little bit.
I watched that game. I think it was pretty interesting. Jimmy was set to return, but Tibbs somehow elected that he wasn't ready just yet. I think it came down to the wire, right? It was only a 4-point game in the end.
Jokic almost had a triple-double, arbitrary stat alert.
Jamal Murray led them in scoring, 22 points.
Yeah, I think the bigger story to come out of Denver was Will Barton not signing or rejecting his extension or something. So I guess he wants out, or maybe he wants a better deal. But the future is definitely bright for that team. Mm-hmm. Coaching change might occur. That's the feeling in the city. Overall, I feel like, you know, they've got a good chance if they make it to the playoffs, because, you know, it's always hard to play there. They're not a good road team, but in the end, they might give somebody a good run for their money.
Yeah, and it'll be good. It'll be good for Denver, because that's a team where you kind of always go, wait, there's a team there? And yeah.
Wow, it's disrespectful.
Well, I like the team, but it's just one of those things.
They've kind of been irrelevant since Carmelo left a bit.
Yeah.
They haven't had, like, the all-star or the superstar. Millsap is technically an all-star.
Yeah, so he's technically their biggest name, but it's the Jokic.
Their big signing of the offseason.
Yeah. Jokic is young. They got a really young, good core of Murray, Harris, and Jokic. And I think those three are going to be some, you know, great players to watch in the upcoming years.
I watched a great player play last night in Ben Simmons. I think he's developing, he's coming along, and you know, the beating the Cavs was a pretty good accomplishment without Embiid in the lineup.
Yes, weathering the second half pushback that the Cavs
barely hanging on.
Yeah.
LeBron's mishap at the end I think cost them that game, but overall, a great game to watch. I was officially like turning the game off. I'm like, this is done in the third quarter. Even in the second quarter, I was like, this is not going to be a close game. And then I turned it back on, and you know, they went into the fourth quarter with like an 8-point deficit, and I'm like, this could be a game.
It's very hard to say, you know, that mishap for LeBron cost him the game, considering, you know, he put up 40 plus points, a triple.
Oh no, it was a mistake at the end. I'm not saying LeBron had a bad game. I'm just saying, you know, his free throws have always been a little shaky.
Well, yeah, it's always been the, you know, if you can say LeBron has a weakness, which he doesn't really, it's been his shooting.
But, you know, the most interesting thing about the Cavaliers is that teams consistently put up like 130, 120 points against that team.
They rarely play defense.
That's a scary, scary stat when it comes to the playoffs. They might tighten up, but I don't know how much better the defense is going to get.
Well, I really think they've shown it in the stretches against the Warriors where it hasn't worked, but they're happy to just outshoot
teams. They can score with the best of them, and I think it, in terms of establishing a defensive scheme, it takes time. With all the turnover in that team, especially not having your coach even for the last couple of weeks, that kind of hurts them in terms of, you know, just establishing that defensive presence.
They were bad without the changes. They've been bad all year. You can make excuses all you want. I think LeBron's a culprit as much as anybody else. He takes possessions off. I can't blame him because he carries a load on the offense. He always has the ball. He has to do everything. In the end, you know, in my opinion, when playoffs come around, teams are going to give them a tough time because, you know, it's hard to shoot 54% from the field every night.
Yeah.
You just don't do that in the playoffs a lot.
Yeah.
When defense turns up, are Jose Calderon or Kyle Korver going to be hitting those shots? I don't know. I just don't have a lot of faith in that team. But LeBron is LeBron, so in the end it's going to be coming down to if he can carry that team.
I mean, when we're talking about that game in terms of even just recapping it, we can't just talk about LeBron. How about Ben Simmons
putting up Lisa?
Oh, that's what I started with. I love that crazy stat line. Yeah, I love
27, 15, and 13 in 36 minutes. It's just insane. He's a rookie.
That guy's gonna be something.
Yeah,
generational talent for sure.
Yeah, it's really good to enjoy this period now before we all start to hate the Sixers, because I think the swing is coming within the next years or so. We're all just gonna be like,
he was 12 for 17. I get that he only really shoots close to the basket, but
damn. You know, and we're going to talk about arbitrary stats later on, but has anybody won the Rookie of the Year without making a three-pointer? Or like, when was the last time that happened?
I have no idea.
Especially in this era, right?
Yeah, I have no idea. I think that's one of those stats we got to look up. It's just weird. And somebody brought it up on Twitter, and I was like, that's really interesting.
But it doesn't matter because Ben Simmons... The Sixers flow so well when he is on the floor. Mm-hmm. Like there's some people among the Hinkieites who argue that it's sometimes better when Embiid isn't on the floor because they're too reliant on his, like, you know, his back to the basket style.
Like post-ups.
Yeah, and also his he shoots arbitrary pull-up threes sometimes, and you're like, Joel, I know you're an amazing player, but don't do that. Don't waste our possessions.
Have you guys ever seen him, like, you know, fake from the straightaway three and just, like, drive to the basket? But, like, his fakes aren't really fakes because they're so slow.
Yeah.
And nobody bites on them anyway. It's like Valanciunas when he used to fake the three-pointer and, like, you know, with a dribble handoff or something. It just, it doesn't work in the end.
Yeah, it really just boils down to him using the fact that he's 7 feet and moves.
It's like nobody's biting on your straightaway threes.
Yeah.
Like, you don't, I mean, he's good at shooting the three, but I don't think he's...
Just
he's
coming back to your, has a rookie ever won Rookie of the Year without shooting threes? There's been one, thanks to Mike.
Yay,
Mike. Shout out to Mike. Can you guess who it is?
Take a guess. It'll be a quick little trivia.
Jason Kidd.
Nope.
I want to say it's Magic, but I feel like that's dumb.
I'm just going to say it now. It's Emeka Okafor.
Emeka Okafor. He's back in the league.
Who's he playing for?
He's on the Pels. He's the Cousins' replacement.
I'm happy for him. You know? He was in the G League for a long time.
Wearing SpongeBob.
Exactly. Hilarious.
I would buy that jersey. I want it on record. I would buy that jersey.
Or somebody to buy it for.
Yeah. Is that just because of the tie placement?
Yeah, it's the shorts. The shorts are the
best. Yes. So, Kevin, what are you looking forward to this week? What are you going to watch?
There's some really interesting games coming up. There's the Nuggets versus Clippers. That's tonight, Saturday at 3:30 p.m., probably just after we air this
pod. After we're done recording.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's going to be a good one, you know, considering for the Clippers to make it, they need to win this game. And they also need Denver to lose two out of their next three. So what do you guys think?
Man, you know what? I'm having a hard time keeping up with everything. You know, that's it's such a rabbit hole right now that, you know, I'm just going to enjoy the games and let it play out. Yeah. I don't know what your take is on this.
Part of me, I mentioned it earlier, I would be sad if the Clippers, I don't know why, I guess Steve Ballmer crying more makes me sad, but I want Denver in because I think the only way for Denver to grow is for them to make the playoffs. And
do you guys think if they do miss out on the playoffs this year, do you think Malone's on the hot seat?
This was not something I was aware of before coming into today. I think my perception was colored by him being a good coach with Boogie, and there's always been that myth that if he stayed, Boogie would have developed into something. So I was confused, but I guess so, because they made this commitment over the past two seasons. Like, they traded Nurkic. They were like, Jokic is going to be the guy moving forward. They got Murray. They signed Millsap. They kind of, like, put this together. And, like, well, how you were saying, like, you don't really think that the roster fits the coach?
No, it does not. Okay. You know, and I feel like every coach goes through this feeling of, like, my team needs to play some sort of defense, which has been Malone's backbone for a while. And yeah, they don't play any defense. So I think that's got to hurt him in some way. And I'm sure he knows that this roster is not fit for him to coach. But he's doing the best job he possibly can. And obviously, benching Jokic created a lot of, you know, animosity amongst fans. Because they don't, you know, you can't bench
the best player. He's their unicorn, basically.
Yeah, but he has to. Jokic has to wake up on the other side. I mean, he, as good as he is.
Yeah.
And first of all, I mean, I'm not body shaming anybody. But no, he needs to get in shape as an NBA player. Yeah. I feel like he's gassed a lot of times. I've seen games where he will literally take possessions off. Like, he is hands on his knees, bent over. Like Joel does that too, but I think with Joel, its conditioning might be a little off because of the injuries. I don't know what happened.
Jokic has gone on record saying he drinks 2 liters of Coke.
Yeah, that can't be healthy.
Well, yeah, this is like the early John Wall days of him eating like bags and bags of candy.
Is this the equivalent of, like, smoking back in the day? Like, you know when NBA players could smoke in the
80s? I'm sure they don't tell us, but all of these Eastern European players, I'm sure they chain smoke like chimneys.
And, I mean, they drank beers all the time.
Just look at Milos, right?
Yeah.
We are talking about the Clippies.
Yeah, and what it is for the Clippers right now is they have to play a good team game for the rest of the season, right? Because they have no star. Like, we were talking about this last week. Because they traded away Blake Griffin. They're kind of playing above their heads. Their best player is technically a sixth man. Well, Lou Will is late.
What about Boban?
Danilo's back. They have pieces.
Yeah, but
Tobias is a piece.
Yeah. But it's a matter of they need all of their pieces to play incredibly well. And they're a hungry team, but I think we really see what happens when a team that's playing above their heads needs to, like, face reality a little.
So they hit a reality check.
Yeah, I think so, because they've kind of been flying high.
So who do you think makes it outside of the playoff bubble in the West?
I've never been the biggest fan of OKC, and I'm not going to put my bias, change my opinion. I would love to see anybody. I don't have a dog in this fight. OKC, if they're left off, this is going to be dramatic. I'm all for dramatic. So sure, let it happen.
I think...
I feel like Carmelo would just get blamed for everything.
Yeah. I was going to say, for me, my sort of mentality is I love eliminating people from shit. Like, if I was James Harden, I would crush OKC tonight and pray that Denver wins, and they're out. And like Mahaj was saying, it would be amazing to see the fallout and all the photoshopped Paul George's in Lakers jerseys on Twitter.
I can't wait.
Paul George stays.
Oh, yeah.
Carmelo gets traded.
Okay.
Really? You think Sam Presti can pull that kind of magic?
Sam Presti has done a lot of good things for that team.
Maybe Sam Presti tricks Orlando again.
I think Melo stays and PG goes. But
really?
I mean, Melo has to. He's on the contract.
PG loves Westbrook. And we've seen without Carmelo, they play okay. Yeah.
How about... the OKC Houston game coming up. That's a big one tonight.
Yeah, let's eliminate people. Sure, I'm all aboard. Sure.
Doesn't it feel good?
Let's do it. Yeah.
Like, why are we like, oh, I hope all of these teams make it? Like, no, if you can eliminate.
Yeah, we're just playing with a nice guy. Like, you don't want to be that. That's fine.
No,
let's take OKC out. You know, the most improbable scenario if you asked about a week ago.
Yeah.
OKC being eliminated. So why not, right? And if Houston James Harden has to do it to his old teammate, why not be it?
Wouldn't that feel so good?
That would feel so good. I hope he doesn't rest for this game.
I don't think he would. I think he's going to go all out.
Is it an ABC game? Like a national TV game?
That's a good question.
Let's find that out. If it is, then he's probably not going to take it.
Do you think we'll
get it? Actually is an ABC game.
There you go. There you go. I'm all for that game.
Do you think we'll get one of those, like, there's that famous OKC picture of Harden.
Oh, yes.
Harden, Katie, and Russ with their arms over each other.
What could have been? Right?
Yeah, do you think we'll get one of Melo, Paul George, and Westbrook?
Sure. Somebody's going to tweet that out, for sure. This is going to be so much drama going down. What do you think, Kevin? What are you picking that game?
Oh, definitely the Rockets. I don't want to see OKC in the playoffs. I just want to see all the drama that happens.
Wow, so OKC, we're taking them out of the playoffs.
I think there's an even bigger game that's on my outlook than this one.
Which one? Yeah.
And you know, as a Raptors fan, I just like to say that game against Philadelphia versus Milwaukee coming up to end the season off, that could be a big one. If Philly falls to Milwaukee that day, Cavs move back up to third. If, you know, granted they beat the Knicks twice, but, you know.
That's not an if.
That's the Knicks. Oh, and, you know, just considering the fact that it's going to come down to that to see, you know, who the Cavs face in the second round is pretty interesting. They do hold the tiebreaker, the Cavs, over Philly. So it's gonna come down to that. What do you think about that game?
You know, the Eastern Conference picture is clearer. I don't know if it would be beneficial for the Raptors to play the Wizards or the Bucks. I wouldn't mind facing the Wizards right now. They're just falling apart.
Yeah, I don't see the threat of the Wizards. I don't think they're figuring it out. I think they're kind of
nobody's eating. Nobody's eating right now. They're not eating together, apparently.
Yeah, no, and apparently no one is staying in the locker room. But going back to that game, I'm conflicted just because I've been on record here pretty much praising the Sixers every chance I get.
Trust the process.
There you go. And I gotta root for the Bucks. So I don't know.
I think that this whole scenario is interesting because, you know, it comes down to the narratives as well. If the Raptors eventually lose to the Cavs in the second round, it looks a lot worse than if they, you know,
it looks the same.
Let's say they lose to LeBron in the game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. You know, what would you rather have if you're a Raptors fan? Would you rather lose to them in the second round or the
ECF? You can talk about it as a Raptors fan. I'm gonna give an unbiased opinion.
Yeah, to be honest, if we lose in the second round, I'm kind of like, it's not, for me, it's not so much as a Raptors fan, though I still would be sad. It's more just like, I'm kind of sick of it. You know, I'm sick of the same teams making it to the finals. And I know we lament about it, but it's real. You get tired of it.
So you're tired of the narrative of the same teams being there all the time. Or the same elimination happening every year. Like the Raptors getting knocked out by the Cavs in the second round. Like the playoffs. And I think, you know, to your point, the American media, they don't need more fuel to the fire. If this happens again, it's going to be another year full of, hey, the Raptors are, you know, we've seen this story before.
Yeah.
3 years in a row, I think this is going to be a stamp, like a final stamp on the Raptors. Like, these guys cannot make it any further than that. It's like LeBron's the big brother slapping you down every time.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, according to Shannon Sharp, only Genghis Khan has ruled over the East for longer than LeBron James.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a great quote.
It is. It is a good
one. He's got a bunch of one-liners.
From a tight end. That's what I want to hear.
LeBron James.
I'm tired of looking at LeBron like an entity. You know, everybody looks at him like, oh, it's this big figure. If you're scared of a guy so much that it's a constant fear in your mind when you're facing him, then that defeats the purpose of you even trying to do anything. Like, you have to go in with a mentality of like, hey, this is an athlete. We're going to play him the same way. We're going to game plan. We're going to go in. We're going to do the best we do. From the past, it's always felt like with the Raptors, they've always treated LeBron like we're looking up at him the whole time. Like, is he ever going to come down? No, play to your ability. DeRozan's been great all year. The bench has been great all year. Raptors have a lot of positives. Keep playing with those positives. And don't worry about what the other guy's doing. Just play the opponent, not play the player.
Talking a lot about LeBron James here. He is actually the youngest player to ever hit 31,000 points, joining, you know, big company now with Michael Jordan, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
My favorite.
You know, it's great company to be a part of.
Yeah, he's passing everybody. Kobe, you know, Nowitzki, he passed already, I believe.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's only bound to happen. To me, that's not really a headline. It's impressive. Anything LeBron does is impressive.
You think that's arbitrary?
It's not an arbitrary. Like, all over points is never an arbitrary stat. I think that's a legitimate stat.
Yeah,
because right. You're consistently putting up, you're averaging at least consistently like 28, 27 points a season.
Which is insane.
There's some guys who can't even score when they get on the floor. So.
Yeah. I mean.
Well, the isn't the whole dynamic like everybody can score in the league? It just, you know.
I think he also has a streak of.
I think so.
Of like a ridiculous amount of games of 10 plus points scored per game. He doesn't get single digit point games like ever.
Well, that's an arbitrary stat because he's always the main guy.
Yeah,
what's
he
the
has
usage
to,
rate? If his usage rate is really high, which it always is.
Speaking of arbitrary stats, you know, do you guys have any favorites? Anything along those lines?
I think Richard has a good one.
I like my favorite is I have two. I like the triple double with turnovers is always my favorite. James Harden was famous for that during the seasons where we all hated him. And then the Rondo version where it's the same thing, but there's no points. You just find another way to do it.
Draymond did that.
That's
too,
a Draymond,
recently.
Right?
Yeah.
He Draymond. Almost got a quadruple double, I believe, with 10 steals, more than 10 rebounds and assists, and only 4 points, which is insane.
Yeah, that's a scary stat. Like that's more impressive than a triple double.
Oh,
in my opinion.
Yeah. Or 5x5. 5x5s are also... Draymond, again, is like king of... Well, not king. He's a few of them.
The Nick Batum is the king of the...
It's AK-47 and Hakeem Olajuwon actually are the kings of the 5x5s.
How many do they have, respectively? That's interesting.
I think Hakeem's got 6 and AK's got 4.
Okay, that's impressive.
That's Andrei Kirilenko for all you younger fans out there.
They must have forgotten. He was a good player. Like, he was good in his prime.
No. Do you guys think triple doubles are arbitrary?
Yeah, and I was going to talk about this earlier. I think it's just one of those stats that people just make up. And I know this is going to offend people. And please don't be offended. I'm going to explain. It's because you can take that triple double down to a triple ocho or whatever. Whatever number you want to create. 888, 999, whether it be a triple double. It's just one of those stats where the number really doesn't matter. It's about... You know, you could just call it a Russell Westbrook thing now because he's had more than anybody else. Just the amount of usage you have, the amount of times you have the ball in your hands, it translates to this to these stats. Boxing out for rebounds. I mean, we can talk about this all day long.
Yeah.
But, you know, interestingly enough, I have a friend who's from England who doesn't watch the NBA. And I'm like, hey, what do you think about the NBA? Like a first time impression. And he said, why do you guys care about stats so much? Like, what is it with the stats? It's like the media throws like 50 things at you at a game. He's like, when you go to soccer, all people care about is possession time and shots on target. Because he's a soccer
player. No individuals.
No individual stats. No, like, this guy has scored in the 33 minute more than anybody else. You know, like, it's like we, as North Americans, we make up all these stats because, I mean, there's betting involved.
Well, yeah, the betting culture is different. In UK, you just bet on the team.
Exactly. So, I mean, we're just caught up in all these stats these days. And I understand that you got to identify players. There's money involved and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, triple doubles do earn you contracts.
Yeah.
These stats are getting pretty advanced nowadays, too.
And that's the thing, is people dive into these stats way too much. That might be my opinion. People might not agree with me.
I think Daryl Morey agrees with you. He mentioned the other day, you know, can you measure how good a defender is?
Oh, yeah, someone asked him.
Somebody asked him that on a Reddit AMA, and he said, no, there's no stat that really measures the...
Defensive stats are pretty, you know, they're not very concrete.
Well, the thing I was going to say is that if we've kind of reached this point
And I'm feeling it now with Ben Simmons, where the triple-double is mostly for the fans. Like, the fans feel good. The player feels good. There's a sense of accomplishment for it. But, it like, really, in the grand scheme of things, it's like, it doesn't measure greatness.
I think people misunderstand it as, like, the player with the most impact on the game. Like, when you see that stat, you see, like, oh, this player was everywhere.
Yeah.
And granted, he was. But, you know, if you watch Russell Westbrook play last season, especially last season, it was just about him. It was the Rush show. Yeah. It wasn't, like, nobody else. Like, you had good players on that team just stand by.
Well, yeah, that's
waiting
why,
for the ball.
That's why Oladipo is where he is now.
Thank you. It's a great example.
He's given that opportunity now, and he's really shining, right?
So that's my point. I don't want to go too much into it because I can talk about it for half a day.
All right, guys, we're going to be introducing a new segment this week. It's going to be called Pick Your Poison.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, this is basically, well, there's three of us here. I'm going to outline five topics, and we get to pick between, you know, one of these five topics. We're going to omit two of them. And here we go. First topic, Kyrie's injury. Second topic, Derrick Rose records what is Reddit fans call a LiAngelo ball. Three, Korean Basketball League banning foreign players over 6'6". Interesting one. Number four, the Raptors clinching the number one seed, best record in franchise history with three games to go. And number five, the state of the Golden State Warriors. What's going on? Is Durant having a meltdown? Two straight losses. Pick your poison.
I kind of want to talk about the Korean League because I think that's interesting.
Let's hear it.
Like, I get it. You know, you don't want it to kind of be a gong show like it is in China, where, you know, where what's his name, Marbury, is basically the king of the league for forever.
How tall is Marbury? He's 6'6".
Six five,
but he's shorter than 6'6".
Yeah, but at the same time, I think it's ignorant to believe that your players will benefit from not facing against people of different builds or different skill sets and abilities, because it's like pretending that those people don't exist elsewhere in the world. Do you know what I mean? Like, if I was a player in the Korean League, I would take that as an insult. Like, wait, you don't think I can play with someone who's 6'6" and, like, not in the NBA? You know, like, I don't know. That's just me.
Now, how does that work with players? Let's say you're a Korean and you're 6'8". Does that mean you don't get to play in your league?
Well, there are already restrictions. I'm just basing this off what I know from the Chinese basketball league. There's already restrictions, like you can only have so many foreign players and whatnot. And I'm pretty sure the only people playing professional basketball in Korea will be Korean, for the most part. I apologize for my ignorance, but yeah, I think there's just a, well, if you're 6'8", you can still play. It's just if you're a foreign national, there's a restriction.
Yeah, who cares about the Korean league?
Yeah.
Sorry, I mean, can you name one NBA player or an ex-NBA player?
No,
you
can't really.
You can't. And here's why the Korean League doesn't matter. Because the entire time you're talking about the Korean League, you mentioned the Chinese League three times.
There you go.
I'm going to move on.
Yeah.
Don't care.
That's good.
Not my poison.
Okay. No.
What's your poison?
Oh, is it sake or what do they drink?
Yeah. No, I think it's called something else.
Soju. Soju. Not my soju.
Yeah.
We can talk about Kyrie.
Okay.
I think that's probably the biggest news to come out of late season that might have an impact on the playoffs. We can safely say that. And let me point this out. Philly's chances skyrocketed.
Yeah.
Because of his injury. So Richard is happy. Putting that on the record.
Yeah, Kevin's happy.
Kevin is happy.
Obviously, you can't be happy when anyone is injured.
Eastern Conference is now wide open.
Yeah.
Second seed is, let's not count on Markieff. Is it Markieff? It's a Markieff.
I told you, small Morris twin. I told you.
Yeah, it's one of them.
One of those. KG knows.
One of those Morris knows. Twins.
Yeah.
Boston still has a chance. Let's not count them out. They got good coaching. They got players who are playing harder than ever.
Well, those guys hustle, don't they?
They do, and Raptors got a taste of that recently.
Yeah, but I think they handled it well. They won that game.
They bounced back at home. The Raptors are a great team.
No, I'm talking about when they went into TD Garden.
And got cooked.
That was not a good game for the Raptors. No, right. And they had a weird stretch, though. Let me just put that out there. For four or five games, they were not playing defense at all.
Yeah.
Dwayne Casey seemed to be experimenting with lineups.
I don't believe, because when you watch a Dwayne Casey presser and he's just livid, then he wasn't experimenting. He was. Just,
he had Poeltl and JV out there at a point together on the front court. That seemed very interesting to me.
That's like foul trouble central.
I trust my coach of the year. So,
So who would have thought in the beginning of the season that Kyrie and Gordon Hayward would both go down? They both didn't think about that when they sat at that table in the press conference.
The first 5 minutes of the Boston Celtics season kind of outlined the rest of the season, don't you think?
They went on a crazy win streak after that. Everybody thought Boston is the team to beat this year.
They did, against terrible teams while having the third easiest schedule.
This is like so much Boston hate here, man. I'm unbiased, let me just put that out there, even though I'm wearing a Kyrie shirt in respect for him going down. Yeah. But I am going to say that, you know, it's a good defensive team. They have a good system. I don't mind watching the team play, even without Kyrie, even though clearly he's the main attraction.
Yeah.
I mean, it was almost Game of Thrones level foreshadowing there with the first 5 minutes of their season, don't you think?
I don't know. I wouldn't say it's that dramatic. I just think the season is long and
grueling.
Long and grueling and...
Kyrie, I think I read something the other day. He's missed. He's only averaged 60 games per season.
So is he?
I don't think the 82 game season is really it's really good for him, especially with the way he plays. He a lot of, just like how D Rose almost played, a lot of herky jerky movements. You know, quick, it's fast twitch movements, especially on his knees. Considering, you know, he's had multiple surgeries to his knees, that's a crucial part of his game. And
I read somewhere that the hesitation move apparently has a lot of impact on your knees. That's a new sign for coming out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So these guys kind of rely on the hesitation move a lot of times. Westbrook, all these guys with these handles. Curry's having issues all the time with his ankle. So I don't know if they're ever gonna stop doing that, because John Wall's had issues as well, going up and down the floor, because he's so quick.
Yeah.
And he's got that hesitation move and uses a lot. But Kyrie, to me, is the biggest impact, because, it increases the chances for a lot of playoff teams. Like, let's say Boston is going to be number two. Whichever team they play in the first round, they're going to go in thinking, like, hey, we got a chance in this.
Right.
Whether it's Miami, whether it's Milwaukee, they're going to be like, it could be Washington.
Yeah.
So I'd love to see that Washington Celtics series, where it'd be kind of like an even series.
You think they're going to be wearing all black for the games?
I think the trash talk between them is done. I think the players on there now are all business.
We need a rivalry, though. I'm all for rivalries, so I feel like if it comes back, I'm not going to be mad about it.
Give me some more Morris twins.
Morris twins!
I think the team to start a good rivalry, though, is the Heat. I feel like on the court, they have an intensity that I like to watch. But that's
just James Johnson.
That's a good pick.
Yeah,
good I want Deion Waiters to come back. I think that team feels different with Deion.
Yeah, because they can actually score.
But Deion,
no, score.
Yeah, but
what about Goran? Goran averages what, 19, 18
games. Yeah, I think.
I agree.
But yeah, like they kind of have this image of a low scoring team when he's not there. But when Deion Waiters' island is open again, then there's
more
buckets.
We've gotten really off topic, off
off the Kyrie, injury.
So
you know, men lie, women lie, but buckets don't lie, right?
Yeah, that's true. What was that second one? Something about LiAngelo.
Oh, D-Rose. Yeah, he. Why? Do you know what a LiAngelo?
No, I'm
ball?
Sitting here clueless on what is a LiAngelo. let me guess. It's the Ball Brothers.
It's actually the stat line where everything is zeros except for that one in the steal category.
Why the steal? What does that mean? How is that related?
This is another Chinese basketball
a reference. There?
Reference.
I mean,
because he stole the thing in China.
Yeah,
that is awesome. Because the only thing he walked away was, what did he walk away with? Was it Gucci?
Sunglasses.
One pair of Gucci sunglasses, a couple nights in a Chinese prison, and one revoked scholarship at UCLA.
Man. Oh, that's sad.
That's the true LiAngelo Ball.
How sad is Derrick Rose's life? This is what it's come down to. From an MVP to being compared to LiAngelo.
Yeah.
Man, that guy's had a fall.
He's fighting Tyus Jones for minutes. Isn't that what's happening?
No, Thibodeau is letting him 5 minutes for Tyus. Tyus should be playing over him. Tyus should be playing over Derrick Rose.
You went to bat for Tyus Jones before. I believe you.
I have a soft spot.
I think I'm going to wrap it up with my pick your poison topic. Okay. Let's talk a little bit more about this Raptors number one seed, huh? Let's do it, guys. How much more can we talk? There's three games to go. They got this 60-win season is still on the line.
60 wins mean something to me. I'll just get this out quick. 60 wins mean something.
When have you ever seen this from the Raptors? The top three seeds in the Eastern Conference are from the Atlantic Division. We don't just hang those Atlantic Division banners for no reason.
Okay.
Who's in the Atlantic Division?
Us, Celtics, Knicks.
Was that the Nets?
Nets.
Who even cares about these divisions anymore? I guess get rid of them.
Yeah, they took out seeding. They took out.
Let's take out all the banners that are hanging the division from every team and just get rid of divisions. Like it never happened. Like you know, one of those things. Like you know, like what was it? Like
C-Web's college achievements.
Exactly. Yeah, like the Michigan Fab Five thing. That's kind of really mean.
I just wanted to give him some.
I love C-Web, but I was thinking about it. So.
How could he call a timeout?
Sorry.
Maybe that's why he's not in the Hall of Fame.
And then I see, who is it? Jalen Rhodes. I'm like, we don't run out of timeouts. They show that game a lot.
Speaking of timeouts, I heard Chicago called one the other day in that Minnesota Denver game.
Oh, yeah. Now we're just trashing Marv Albert.
Oh, my God.
Good old Marv Albert.
I think that's everything from us for today, eh?
Yeah, this has been a great episode, and I'm looking forward to this week and watching OKC go down.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that so much. But yeah, I think we're going to wrap it up. So once again, we are back to the basket. Thanks for listening again. If you want to catch us, make sure to catch us on iTunes, Google Play, and wherever you get your podcast from. Feel free to send us your questions on Twitter, anything at all. We'll talk about it as long as it's related to the NBA. And just so you know, we may turn our backs to the basket, but we'll never turn our backs on our fans. See ya!